let's talk money, why don't we? My next guest was with us a few months ago when we started talking about money regularly on Thursdays. And we talked about budget. In fact, his own company used to be called simply Budgets. And he's so annoyed by the usual, by the ineffectiveness of most budgets that he's changed it to the Spending Planners Institute instead. He's going to talk about some of the reasons why people have difficulty with money today. Let me introduce you to David Wright. Hello, David.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
First of all, can we just go through why you think budgets are crap again? Because a lot of people have contacted me and said, I want to hear that.
Did I say crap live on radio?
You did.
I was brought up better than that.
I don't mind crap at all. That's totally fine. just go through that again for us briefly. A lot of people have asked me about that.
All right. Look, if they gave out gold medals for the person that's done the most budgets in their life, I think I would have gotten that medal.
Right,
and,
yep.
Yeah, I was an absolute anal record keeper. I wrote down every cent that I earned and spent, and I had boxes and boxes of notepads in the ceiling of my house where I'd recorded everything. And almost every other night I'd sit down and do my traditional-looking budget where I'd write down, this is our income, and, you know, this is our groceries and our electricity and our telephone and our rates and our insurance. And I'd juggle the numbers and go, there you go, this should work. But the this should work wasn't actually equating to working. And I got so frustrated. And what frustrated me more than anything was the monthly bank statement that would arrive and say, you know, history lesson, here's everything that happened. And I'm going, yep, I already got that in my notebook. And at the bottom it would say closing balance. And I would stare at that number and think, I wonder if we're screwed. I wonder if we can afford to take the kids to the movies. I wonder if we're just okay.
And is that the real weakness? Because you would have to wonder about whether that worked or not?
Well, that's right. And see, a budget says you should be able to make ends meet. But when you actually look at your bank statement, and these days you don't wait 30 days for a statement, you log in on your phone in, you know, 30 seconds. But you're staring at these numbers that say, here's where you are. But it doesn't say, you know, here's where you need to be. And so everybody out there wants to get money right. I don't think I've met anybody that doesn't want to get money right. But we just go from one little disaster to the next and the next, and we have stress knots in our stomach, and we sort of go, you know, I'm over this. This sucks. But, you know, and yet at the start of every year, all of the gurus get on the radio and the TV and they say, oh, my 10 top tips for the next year to get your finances right. Number one, do a budget. And I just cringe because I think, well, first of all, they don't tell you how to do a budget. And secondly, budgets are crap because they don't work, because they don't tell you how to do it.
Right. Okay. So your system, you know, essentially doesn't just look at the past, but looks into the future, like a long way into the future, a year into the future or longer.
Yeah. Well, I had 20 years of past recorded in boxes in my ceiling, and it was good for two things. A giggle when I saw how little fuel cost me 20 years ago and a bonfire. That was it. You know? But when I stopped looking backwards and I started planning forwards, everything changed because I actually knew where I needed to be. So when that statement came, or when I logged into my internet banking to see how much was there, I had something to compare it with. You know, this is where I need to be. This is where I am. And that identified spare money, and it also identified the times when I had to just pull my heels, you know, cool my heels a bit and go, okay, well, it won't be this week, but I can see I can have it in a few weeks' time.
All right. So we've summarised where we've been, you and I. Today we're going to talk about the top four reasons why people have difficulty with money. It's a lack of a lot of things, but strangely on your list, lack of income's not one of them. Why is that?
No. And look, you can go broke on a high income and you can become wealthy on a low income, and I've seen people do both in extremes.
On a low income. That's the one that's got my ears pricking up.
Yeah, any of your listeners, if they actually think about how much money they've earned in their life, and then have a bit of a, you know, what am I actually worth if I sold up right now and cashed out of everything?
Yeah.
What's the gap between what I've earned and where I'm at right now? Because it's not about what you earn. It's about what you don't spend and about how smart you are with that money.
Right.
And, you know, you will never save your way to wealth, but you have to save money to get yourself to a point where you can do things creatively that will create wealth.
Okay, so you'll never save your way to wealth, but you have to save.
Unless you're 15 now and you're earning a reasonable income and you've got 50 years ahead of you where you can just put it away in some kind of fund that just, you know, property or shares or whatever that grows at 7 or 8% as property or shares have over the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Interestingly, halfway through that journey from 15 to 65, if you were putting $50 a week away at you know, let's say 7%, and I know right now you can't get that, but if you look historically, property and shares go up about 7 or 8% per annum. You know, at halfway through at age 40, you only have to have $100,000 to be a multimillionaire by the time you're 65. So there's good news there. You know, if you're not at the 100,000 mark and you're 40, there is a gap, but it's not as big a gap as you might have been thinking.
Mm. So what are these creative things you're talking about? Give me some examples. You can't save your way to wealth, but you can save your way to get yourself into the position where you might have wealth. Would that
well,
be
what
correct?
You don't want to do is embark on some creative, you know, investment opportunity or you know business idea that you have by using your credit card to start off, because you're immediately in a bad place, and when you can't make that credit card payment, the stress takes over from the creativity, and you can't be creative when you're stressed. It's very, very difficult.
Okay, so that's the kind of thing you're talking about, starting a business or something like that.
Yeah, you need to engage some creative, and you know, I say every person has a skill, a talent, something that they can be passionate about that will attract other people to them. And you know, if you develop a passion into something where you have skill, like I've done, you know, like 25 years ago, I was this person with my guts tied in a knot every night, sitting at the kitchen table, chewing my fingernails, worrying about bills.
Mm.
Now I educate other people on how not to do that, because I just focused, I was passionate, I just made a decision this one night, I am going to fix this. I don't care what it takes, I am going to fix it. And I got passionate about it, and I got excited. And every one of your listeners will have something that they love to do, or that they love to, you know, muck around with, play with. It could even be, you know, hot rods, or it could be something that looks like it would cost a lot of money, but everything can be turned into something that creates money, because there are other people out there that have the same passion, and if you're above them, they want to learn from you. They want to be like you. They want to do what you do. And so, you know, you get an idea and you turn it into something, and these days, with the internet, you can, you know, sit at 1 o'clock in the morning in your pajamas in a spare bedroom with your computer on the internet and create a website and look like you're just the same as one of the big four banks or one of the major companies. It's basically undone the Industrial Revolution. Anybody can be passionate about something, create a presence, give some information away to educate people and attract them to what you're doing, and start a business.
And, I mean, essentially that's what you've done. I mean, you've turned your passion, or at least your desire to avoid the stress, into your own business.
Yeah, because I love to I love to help other people. I don't want to see them go through what I was going through.
Yeah, exactly.
And the way I was, the way I was brought up, it was, you know, help other people, be nice to other people. You know, you see someone that needs help, give them a help. So that's what I've been doing.
Well, we've sidetracked, but I enjoy sidetracking with you, David, I have to say. Let's talk about these top four reasons. The reasons why people have difficulty with money. Yeah, they're all Asians. Lack of education. What sort of education are you talking about?
Well, I'm sure if everybody thinks back to their school years, there wasn't a lot of education around money. And I know there have been attempts to change that, and it's been put into the curriculum. I've seen some of the information that's now being introduced. And it's good, but I can't say that it goes all of the way to where it needs to go, but it's a start. But most of us, if we were lucky, we in maths, maybe we got asked to do a budget, which would have started with, you know, John and Mary earn $100 a week each, or $1,000 a week each, as it might be nowadays. And they've got these expenses, create a budget. And so it would be your stereotype, incomes on one side, expenses on the other, and how much have they got left over, or have they not, you know, like balanced the budget.
Mm.
And that's pretty much all that I remember getting taught. And, you know, it was just a maths exercise. There was never any information about, you know, because money is an emotional thing. Yes, it's a material thing, but it's attached to emotions, and nowhere at school did we get taught about emotions either, you know, or how to manage them. So money and lack of education, I mean, people go, oh, well, you know, the family home, you know, your parents teach you money. That's where you should learn that. But if you consider, you know, siblings growing up in a home, one of them can be wealthy and one of them can be broke because there's something in their DNA that's different. It's not just education, but education goes a long way.
I see that in my own family. I mean, my father was fastidious, wrote down every transaction in his ledger books, and he's passed that on to a couple of his children, but certainly not others such as me.
Right. Well, if you're the one that didn't get that, good for you, because I can tell you it uses a lot of time.
It doesn't good for me.
A lot of income. Yeah. You never drive down the highway looking in the rear vision mirror. You know, you might glance now and then, but it's the windscreen that you've got to keep looking in because that's where you're going.
God, your use of metaphors. I love it. Okay, yeah, so
you'll crash.
So where is the best place to get that? Let's assume that people don't get that education through their regular schooling. Where do you go?
Well, the cheapest way to get information these days is, you know, and always has been from books. You know, for $25, you can buy a book by Robert Kiyosaki called Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
The Cash Flow Quadrant, The Richest Man in Babylon. You know, there are so many books.
You recommend the Kiyosaki?
Well, if you've got no education at all, it would certainly be a good place to start.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, you know, he's the be-all and end-all, but he's certainly got lots of great information in the books that he's written. Here's one of the things that I've learned over the years. You'll have people that will say, come follow me, I will show you the way.
Mm.
Because they've, you know, been there and done that and, set the example. But every one of us is different. We all have different strengths and weaknesses, and we can learn from all of these people that have been successful, but we can't be them. So you can read all of the books by somebody who's been successful, but you can't be that person.
Yeah.
But you can take information from those books and go, oh, you know, that bit there, I really don't feel comfortable. I couldn't do that. Fine, throw that bit away. But there'll be something else that you'll think, yeah, hey, I can see myself doing something like that, or I agree with that, and it can become part of my philosophy. And so you pull from lots of different experts, from the reading and from the research that you do on the internet and from, you know, listening to podcasts and things about, you know, there's Dave Ramsey in America, there's Susie Orman, Robert Kiyosaki, you know, there's so many people that put themselves out there as the experts, and they say, you know, come follow me, but you can't. You've got to be yourself, but you can learn from them and take their wisdom that fits you and go, okay, I can be me, successful, and grow with this information that fits me in the way I operate as a human being.
Mm. Okay, so that takes care of education. A lack of motivation. Do you have to get to the point where you're sitting at the kitchen table with your head in your hands thinking, I'm stuck? which sounds like where you got to, frankly.
I've got this saying that says, we learn more from pain than we ever do from pleasure.
Yeah, success is a poor teacher. Yeah.
You know, I remember back in the heydays of, you know, when property was doubling every whatever, and buying a house and selling it for more money and thinking, oh, how clever am I? And it was only when I bought a house that went down in value and I lost money that I actually took a look at what was going on and learned something. So, yeah.
What did you learn out of that, by the way?
You don't buy a brand new house and expect it to always go up in value, because there are cycles in the property market. And if you don't know what's going on, don't play in that sandpit. You know, because you can't leave it to lady luck.
Mm.
It's you know, a lot of people were lucky and I was, but I was also unlucky. And it was only when I got unlucky that I actually looked and listened and learned. So motivation, lack of motivation, is all about excitement. And, you know, some people are just naturally enthusiastic and bubbly and happy and whatever. And other people, you know, probably don't come across that way. And I was a school teacher for 20 years, and there was one word that would get 1,000 kids on the oval in under a minute. Can you guess what that word was?
I'm trying to think.
It wasn't fire.
Normally it'd be free beer, but that's two words.
Not with school kids. Mm. No, it was fight. 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 And all of a sudden, everybody's there because
fight.
You know, I'm sure you remember that when there was a fight on,
of course.
People came from
yeah.
everywhere. And it's because people are attracted to energy and passion and enthusiasm.
Yes.
And when there's a fight on, man, there's a lot of all of that. And people are attracted to it. So if you want to be successful, you need to get excited. And excitement builds, you know, a whole lot of stuff. And it's easy to say, oh, well, it's okay for him to say, but, you know, I've got this $10,000 credit card and this $5,000 credit card and I can't make the payments, so it's pretty depressing. And I agree with that. But you've got to lift yourself above that and go, I am not my current situation. I'm much bigger than that. And that might be where I'm at right now, but it's not who I am. And you've got to believe in yourself and go, you know what? I am going to get excited about my life.
Yeah, my situation is not me. That's well said.
Yeah, well, it's not mine. I read it somewhere, but it just came out then. And
oh, it's very Buddhist, you know. David. You know, well, a lot of people say you are your job, you are your relationship, you are your children, but you're separating these things. You're separating finances from your sense of self.
Yeah, and you know, people look at their money almost as their report card on their performance in life. But, you know, like GFC came along and how many people lost a lot of money and it wasn't their fault. You know, you've got no control over the world economy. Things happen and some people were lucky, some people weren't. Some people were smart, some people weren't. But there was, you know, like how many financial planners and money gurus are there out there who didn't say, oh, by the way, we're about to have a GFC. You know, there were people who earned their full-time income as financial advisors who didn't see it coming.
Oh, look, you know, there was about five people in the whole of the US that saw it. And go and see The Big Short if you want to know who they are. We better get on to our last two points here. Number three, lack of information.
Yeah,
that's information almost wrapped into number one, really, where you can find that information and education.
It is, but there's a subtle difference because, you know, with education, you gain information, but with information, you apply it.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about, you know, you've got to know the rules. So, at any seminars that I run, I use this example. I'd say, okay, if I split you guys in this room into two teams, Team A and Team B, okay? You guys go over that wall, you guys go over that wall, and here's a ball. I'm going to put the ball in the middle of the room, and when I blow my whistle, I want you to play the game. I want you to play. And everybody will look at me like, what are you talking about? Because there's got to be rules. There's got to be, you know, something that you... What are we trying to achieve? Does the ball have to hit the wall? Does it have to hit the ceiling? And unless you know the rules, you can't play the game. And so what I'm talking about, lack of information, is, you know, every person that's listening knows something about money. And it could be, I go to work, get paid, and on the weekend I spend it. That's not real good information. Other people know that you can go and create a trust and a company and you can do this. And there will be somebody in Australia today that signed the deal that makes them $1 million. And the only reason that they can do that is because they've taken their education and they've now got information that they can apply to situations, you know, outside of just being taught that 1 + 1 = 2. You've got to have this passion in your belly that says, I've decided I want to learn all I can about this thing called money. And if you don't care, if you kind of go, I don't want to do that, that's your call, but be prepared to have what you get. To accept what comes along.
To accept the consequences of that.
Yeah.
And finally, lack of inspiration.
Yep. So we said lack of motivation before. That's like excitement. Lack of inspiration comes from belief. Inspiration comes from belief. You know, like if you read somebody's books and you think, wow, you can get inspired by that person's, the things that they said in their book, and you can take that on board. That inspiration will lead to motivation, which is the excitement part of it. So, but you've got to have belief in yourself that, you know what, I'm not a failure. I might look like one right now, but, you know, I, as I said before, I'm not my circumstances. I can do something with my life and get passionate. And passion is the key. You know, if you're not passionate about anything, who are you? You know, if you just get up in the morning and go to work and come home and plump in the chair and watch the TV and you don't get excited about something, but you're really just a consumer. But I want everybody to be a contributor. And you know, while we've all got credit card debt and up to our eyeballs in money stress, you can't be a contributor. So my whole mission now is to inspire people, to educate people, to motivate people and give them the information that they need to go, you know what? I can be a player. I can do something with my life and I don't have to be stuck in this rut.
David Wright is with us from the Spending Planners Institute here at 97.3 ABC Illawarra. We've just been running through the reasons why people have difficulty with money, which is actually nothing to do with a lack of income. You can make up your own mind about that. Next time David comes along, we're going to be talking about the big E's that impact your finances in life: emotions, environment, ego, expectations, earnings, expenditure. By golly, you've been working hard on all of these on all of these lists, David.
Lots of biggies.
I love it. It's been fantastic. Thank you very much for coming in and joining us again, and we'll do it again soon, I hope.
All right, Nick, thanks very much.
Thanks
very much.
Appreciate it. Good on you. David Wright, Spending Planners Institute, live from our Maroochydore studios.